AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to read to you from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. The Apostle Paul tells the Ephesians, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light." One of the things that we strive to do on this program, Real Truth for Today, is shine the light of God's truth onto situations and circumstances in the culture of our day, to say, okay, what is right and what is wrong, what is true and what is false. As Isaiah the prophet said so many years ago, Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So we don't want to do that. Now, the big news item today is the State of the Union address that took place last night in Washington, D.C., as Donald Trump took to the podium and spoke for, I think it was a record, an hour and 47 minutes, I believe. And so I've asked my friend Rod Martin, who is no stranger to our program, founder and CEO of Martin Capital, philosopher, capitalist, a Christian, a lawyer, an anti-communist, and part of the team that started PayPal. I've asked him to come on today as we talk about the speech from last night. So Rod, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
Okay, so you watched the whole speech. I have to confess, Rod, I was getting a little tired toward the end. I'm not a late night guy, but I stayed through till the end.
We'll be glad you live in Central Time, because it was an hour later for a lot of the country, including the president, who's about a billion years old and has more energy than all of us. It's really quite remarkable. The man seems to never sleep. He is just a dynamo. He's gotten more done in the last year than any other president you can point to in four. And that showed last night. You know, the laundry list of achievements is just off the chart. There's nothing to compare to it.
Well, as we know, there was a group of Democrats that said, "We're boycotting. We're not going to give him our time or our attention." And they had their other meeting. And I saw some clips of that. It looked like a show at Disney or something. I mean, it was all these animals on stage, you know, dressed in these suits, and just seemed inane. Rod, from a political perspective, what do they gain by not showing up?
They are playing to a portion of their base that has decided that America is evil. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, go to one of their political science colloquia at the junior or senior level in any state college, and you can find out for yourself. They believe that America is evil, that America is the center of oppression in the world, that everything about the world's problems stems from us. And so, you know, to have anything to do with this president, who they've labeled an authoritarian and a dictator and a fascist and all these things, is completely off brand, and they have to go do this. The problem for them is that gets noticed. You know, actually, it's probably better for the 70 plus Democrats who boycotted the speech entirely, because most of America didn't see that. There's going to be some great footage that will be useful for political ads for the rest of the year.
Yes.
But most people didn't actually see it themselves, versus the ones who were in the chamber. You know, and at one point, Trump actually says, you know, these guys don't ever stand for anything, but can we all stand for the idea, you know, stand up physically for the idea that it is our duty as the government of the United States to protect American citizens from criminal illegal aliens. They sat down for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, we're going to beat them to death with this all the way to November. They will rue the day.
Okay, I wanted to play that clip because I thought that was brilliant on Trump's part to yes. call them out to their face, to the American people. These people are pro illegal aliens over American citizens. This is what he said.
So tonight I'm inviting every legislator to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens.
And the clapping went on for a long time.
You should be ashamed of yourself not standing up. You should be ashamed of yourself.
All right. Calls them out to their face. And we had to close, shorten that, Rod, because they clapped for about a minute.
Yeah. The Republicans went on for a while. They know that this is going to be in 5,000 political ads. But they also mean it. It's kind of obvious. And look, we've had this problem in the Southern Baptist Convention and in other evangelical denominations that have been influenced or infiltrated by the woke. We see this again and again. And on a theological level, it's an inversion of the idea of ordo amoris, or ordered loves. I have a duty to love everybody, but I'm not supposed to love everybody equally. Oh, that sounds unchristian. No, it doesn't. I'm supposed to love my wife more than your wife. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to love my kids more than I love your kids. You say, well, that also seems mean. No, because I have a primary responsibility before God, not only to be faithful to those people, but to provide for them. The scripture says that a man who doesn't provide for his family has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Yes. Okay, so that establishes the principle. How about governments? The government of the United States has a primary responsibility to protect Irina Zarudzka from being murdered by an illegal alien. The government of the United States has a primary responsibility to protect the American people from the mullahs in Iran who openly declare they want to kill us all. So, you know, these things are obvious, and it's not our government's job to be sympathetic to the Ayatollah and give him pallets of hundreds of millions of unmarked $100 bills that, as Obama did. It's our job to defend America.
Amen to that. Okay, Rod, I want to play you this clip from a Democrat representative from Oregon, Janelle Bynum. She had the audacity to say that Trump calling people to stand up if you support America first over illegal aliens was racist.
What did you think about that moment when the president was asking Democrats to stand up for American citizens during that part of the speech when he was talking about immigration and immigration enforcement efforts?
I think you can agree with the what, like standing up for American citizens, but I disagree with the how. And so it's always about how do we bring our country together, but not stand on the backs of others. There's thinly veiled racist language, anti-immigrant language in what he was asking, and that was uncomfortable.
Rod, your take on that response?
Well, at its most basic, it's a category error. We have illegal aliens from every part of the world. You know, what race are we discriminating against when we want to keep English illegals out or Romanian illegals out, you know, or French illegals out? And yes, they come. There's statistics on this. We have people coming illegally from Canada and Mexico who absolutely, by all definition, are white. So it's a category error. An illegal alien is a trespasser. Yes. A black person is a member of a particular race, as you and I are. Those are different things. Some illegal aliens are also of a different race from me, and some are of the same race as me. And the problem is not their race. The problem is their trespassing. So, you know, the Democrats confuse this just as they deliberately weaponize an inversion of that ordo amoris I was talking about earlier. Yes. They do this to manipulate Christian virtue and the goodwill of American people to not protect people they're sworn to protect in favor of people they favor. And that's just opposite. That's like if I only supported a family in India and left my own family to live on the street. It's just backward.
Yes, it doesn't make any sense at all. And coupled with the fact, Rod, that America is basically broke. So giving all these things away to people, I mean, the idea that healthcare should be free, well, wonderful, but somebody's got to pay for that. You know, guys and ladies don't go to medical school for all those years to come out and work for free. Nobody can do that. And so, you know, I've always struggled with, okay, you want to give all this stuff away. That's just like an individual saying, well, I'm going to open up my home and feed the whole neighborhood. Well, you can't pay your bills. How are you going to do that to pay everybody else's and feed everybody else? And so it's just an impossibility.
And I wish that were all of it. But the president correctly made the point last night that we're finding enough fraud in these welfare systems.
Yes.
Probably not as much by welfare recipients as by the people administering the programs and people who have paid them off. We are finding so much fraud in the system. I mean, there are no welfare recipients at the Luring Center in Minneapolis. You know, there's nobody there to receive help. It's the people at the top who are taking all the money. And they're not only taking the money for themselves. They're not just building themselves fancy houses. They're sending that money to terrorist groups overseas. It turns out the Minnesota taxpayer is the number one funder of Al-Shabaab in Somalia, which is the local Al-Qaeda affiliate. This is insane. So when you look at all of this, it's not just that we can't afford it. It's that the help isn't going to the people it's supposed to be going to. And if you solved that problem, we might not have a deficit and we might actually be in really good shape financially. But the whole system has been corrupted at a shocking level. And just one last thing on that. We saw this a year ago when Trump and Elon Musk just brilliantly and courageously shut down USAID, which is the United States Agency for International Development. USAID was funding everything except humanitarian aid. When they got into the books, they realized that only about 13% of USAID's budget, which was bigger than the CIA and the State Department put together, only about 13% of it's going to humanitarian aid. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is going to forced sterilizations of 300,000 Native women in South America, to color revolutions, to overthrow foreign governments, to, by the way, money to media organs in the United States for the purpose of opposing one of the two parties. Guess which one?
Right.
And all of this is criminal. So the whole system is built on a lie. And Trump is getting to the root of it, and that's why they really hate him. He's cutting off their money.
Yes, for sure. Well, this is what he had to say about the Smolian fraud, and the cameraman was showing Ilhan Omar with tears in her eyes.
We'll balance our budget. The Somali pirates who ransacked Minnesota remind us that there are large parts of the world where bribery, corruption, and lawlessness are the norm, not the exception. Importing these cultures through unrestricted immigration and open borders brings those problems right here to the USA. And it is the American people who pay the price in higher medical bills, car insurance.
Rod, you had mentioned that last time you were on the program, that the mindset of a Somalian is not compatible with the mindset of an American. They grow up in this fraud and corruption and thievery. That's all they know. That's just baked into their country. And to bring them into the United States of America, they don't think like we do. And Trump pointed that out. And Ilhan Omar can't be honest about that because that is the situation. Well, we'll get to that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my friend Rod Martin. We're talking about the State of the Union address, and then we're going to talk about Mike Huckabee and Tucker Carlson in that long interview that took place last week. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my friend Rod Martin. We're talking about the State of the Union address last night. Went on for an hour and 47 minutes. Rod, that was the longest ever, I think, in the history of the State of the Union. But it wasn't just Trump talking the whole time. I mean, he was introducing, human interest stories into the speech and things like that. And we got to see people get honored. We saw the hockey team, the USA hockey team. And so it had a lot of different wrinkles to it. And it didn't feel, as a listener, now it was getting late, but it didn't feel like, man, when is this going to end? It wasn't like an hour and 47 minute sermon.
No, it certainly wasn't. Although I've heard some sermons that were that long that were actually really good. So I don't want to be mean to the preachers who do that. But no, it was incredibly entertaining. It was incredibly engaging. If you hate him, of course, you didn't see it that way. But if you're honest, even if you hate him, you have to admit that he's a master of this. And that's exactly why they lost the last election. So they need to pay attention. They need to try to chip away at it where they can. The problem is he's had the most incredible year of accomplishments any president can point to ever. I mean, there's really nothing to compare to it. Even Franklin Roosevelt's first year didn't accomplish as much. And people don't begin to understand the incredible degree to which that's true. I gave one example on a show yesterday. Trump came in 2017 on a promise of repealing two federal regulations for every one new one. Well, it worked out that he repealed 22 regulations for every one new one. This term, he promised 10 for everyone, and he's over 100 for everyone. Now, every one of those is effectively a tax cut on American businesses and American workers, every last one of them. And the biggest, of course, is the endangerment finding, which somehow, just fantastically, the Obama administration's EPA used to declare that carbon dioxide, otherwise known as plant food, is somehow a pollutant. Well, okay, maybe you want to control the exact amount of carbon dioxide. I think that's a legitimate scientific debate, although I have a side in that. But it's crazy to say that a natural element that is necessary for the sustenance of life is a pollutant. You might as well say water is. That was $1 trillion a year burden on the American economy that the president just eliminated. And that's before you see zero illegal border crossings in the last 9 months, 2.6 million illegal aliens out of the country in the first year before we have the kind of throughput we need to really process a decent number of them, because you've got to have enough immigration judges and you've got to have enough detention space to be able to sort them through, get them their court hearing and fly them home. That's why we have alligator Alcatraz and some other things like that. They don't stay there for 10 minutes. They're there long enough for their court hearing and their plane flight out. And and there are just so many other achievements, among which are, and I think Christians should be especially attuned to, 8 peace deals in 8 months. And some of those wars had been going on for 40 years. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And when you actually have a peacemaker, we really should rise up and call him blessed.
Amen to that. Okay, so Rod, you've been involved in politics for a long time, and politics is the art of compromise. Why, that's why some people don't like it at all. Some Christians don't like that at all. You know, with the abortion debate, we don't want to compromise on any of that, and so that can create problems. But when it comes to like the transgender insanity, and Trump called him out last night. I'm going to play the clip. He called him out for being crazy, and that is that's insane. That position is insane. No one can change his gender. You can't change your chromosomes. You can carve your body up. You can take all sorts of drugs. But guess what? If you're born a male, you're still a male, regardless of what you'd put on your dress or whatever. Well, he understands that, but it's the Democrats that. There are some of the Democrats that don't seem to understand that. But you can't come together on a compromise in something like that. You can't compromise with insanity. So I want to play this clip and get your comments.
But surely we can all agree no state can be allowed to rip children from their parents' arms and transition them to a new gender against the parents' will. Who would believe that we've been talking about this? We must ban it, and we must ban it immediately.
Common sense.
Look, nobody stands up. These people are crazy. I'm telling you. They're crazy. Amazing. Seven.
All right. These people are crazy. I would agree with that. You would agree with that. Probably those on the left took that as very, very inflammatory.
It's crazy, but it makes sense. You know, it's one of those things. This is a fallen world in which everyone's a sinner, and they kind of twist reality to suit what they want it to be. And that's what the Democrats have done here. Transgenderism is obviously a mental disorder, and it's just horrifying in its application. They want to actually castrate young children. They actually want to do double mastectomies on teenage girls. You know, this is not something you can reverse. No. So they're marring these children for life. It's no different from the female genital mutilation that 10 years ago we were all opposing in parts of Africa. And now they're doing it as a matter of law in California. And they're telling us that you're a bad parent and must have your child taken from you by the state if you don't endorse it. It's insane. On the other hand, theologically, it's not insane. It's the exact same sin Eve commits in the garden. When she chooses to eat from the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what she's really doing is she's asserting the right over God's to define what's right and wrong.
Right.
And that's what the Democrats are doing here. And they're doing it for the same reason that the party does it in George Orwell's 1984. If the party doesn't get to define reality, and I mean really basic reality, if the party doesn't get to do that, it cannot have absolute power. And this is a party increasingly dominated by its socialist wing that is absolutely totalitarian in its application. So transgenderism is just a manifestation of that. But it's kind of like a compromise on abortion. You can't kill half a baby.
Right.
And you can't half mutilate a child. And you can't have a woman beat a much bigger man in a sporting contest after she's trained her whole life to get that gold medal. And then this guy just beats her to death because we're pretending he's a woman. I mean, there's no fairness in that. You wouldn't let NFL teams play peewee teams. It's that simple. You wouldn't let heavyweight fighters fight featherweights. It's just not fair. It's also not sporting. It's also not entertaining. It's horrifying. It's supposed to horrify. And that's what they've embraced. And you saw it on national television last night.
Okay, let's talk about, Rod, the SAVE Act, because Trump talked about the SAVE Act, which to me is just such a no-brainer. You just want to make elections impossible to cheat, or as close to impossible as you can get. And so I agree with him. I agree in one-day voting, only mail-ins for people who are invalids or military, people that can't physically can't get there. You'd use paper ballots so you can audit them. You don't use computers because they can be hacked. And you have to show that you're an American citizen. You have to show a picture ID and be registered to vote and show that you are. So this is what he had to say, very humorous, about everyone's favorite socialist Muslim mayor, Zohran Mamdani.
And even the new communist mayor of New York City, I think he's a nice guy, actually. Speak to him a lot. Bad policy, but nice guy. Just said they want people to shovel snow. They got hit hard. Wants them to shovel snow, but if you apply for that job, you need to show two original forms of ID and a Social Security card. Yet they don't want identification for the greatest privilege of them all, voting in America. Now it's no good. No good. Both Republicans and Democrats overwhelmingly agree on the policy that we just enunciated. And Congress should unite and enact this common sense, country-saving legislation right now, and it should be before anything else happens.
All right, Rod, do you think the SAVE Act is going to go through?
I think we've got a real shot. It really depends on if John Thune forces a talking filibuster. You know, the rule we're constantly told is that you have to have 60 votes to vote cloture, and we don't have 60 votes, so we can't pass this. That is the custom, and it has been for most of my lifetime, but it's not the rule. The rule is that cloture is closing off debate, but we have pro forma debates where nobody actually stands up and talks in the well of the Senate. We just say, well, we're gonna, and you didn't get to 60 votes, so you can't cut it off, so we can't get to a final vote. Bunk. Make them follow the rule. They actually have to stand up in the well of the Senate and talk and hold the well of the Senate, hold that podium for the entire time of the debate, however long it takes. And ironically, of course, we all know that the longest filibuster in American history, longest talking filibuster, was the Southern Democrats filibustering the Civil Rights Act in 1964. So make the Democrats do the same thing here. But ultimately, we were able to pass the Civil Rights Act of 1964 with nearly every Republican vote and maybe half of the Democrats, because they actually had to talk. They had to stand up and speak. Now, if Majority Leader Thune will actually force them to follow the letter of the rule, this does not nuke the filibuster. It restores some functionality to the Senate, and they can't talk forever, and eventually we actually have a straight up and down vote and see what the Senate thinks. But look, every major country on earth and most of the minor ones all have voter ID. This is an 89% issue in America. Democrat, Republican, black, white, Hispanic, women, men, everybody agrees. This is an 89% issue. Can you imagine anything having 89% agreement? And everyone agrees that, of course, you should have a photo ID to vote. You have to have one to get cough syrup. You have to have one if a cop stops you on the side of the road. You have to have one if you go to an airport. You have to have one sometimes to go to the theater. But somehow, magically, we're not going to do that for voting, which is the most important thing that we do from a governmental perspective. And there's only one reason that you don't want that, if you've thought it through at all. If you're dumb enough to just go with the talking points, oh, that's racist. I'm sorry, black people have IDs. That's bunk. Right. It's not about that. It's about cheating. And we're finding an incredible amount of cheating. This is going to be one of the more interesting issues of 2026. The FBI is all over the election fraud that has happened in the past few cycles. They have seized a lot of evidence. And that's part of what the Venezuela operation was about, because those voting machines were programmed by Venezuelan entities, and we're seizing the evidence in Caracas right now. That's why Tulsi Gabbard was in Fulton County, and they all know it, and that's why they're screaming.
Mm. All right, Mike or Rod, let's shift gears to Mike Huckabee and Tucker Carlson. That was a very long sit down. Hats off to our friend Mike Huckabee for doing that. He did that out of the kindness of his heart. He could have told Tucker, take a hike. I'm not going to talk to you. Tucker is looking for sound bites. He's looking for a gotcha moment. I used to like the guy. You know, by his own admission, I played the clip yesterday. He calls himself a jerk. He knows he's a jerk. He's a jerk on purpose. But he was trying to trap Mike, and I thought Mike did a masterful job.
But he's a very selective jerk. So with Mike Huckabee, Tucker Carlson spoke for two-thirds of a two-hour interview. He's not even interviewing him. He's just doing gotcha and monologues. With Nick Fuentes, he let Nick talk for two-thirds of the interview and didn't challenge him on things like saying that Hitler and Stalin are cool. Didn't challenge him at all. There's no pushback at all. Everything's a softball. But with Mike Huckabee, it was an interrogation. And that tells you everything you need to know. Tucker is no longer an honest observer. Tucker is a partisan. He has an agenda. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but the fact that he bought a house in Qatar is kind of telling. Most people don't buy a second home in a place that gets to 130 degrees in the shade for a good bit of the year. So, you know, Tucker Carlson, and by the way, you know, totally supportive of Hamas's reign of terror. Well, Hamas is just an arm of the Iranian government. The Iranian government is executing now 32,000 innocent protesters in its streets. Tucker Carlson is silent. He doesn't care about that. But somehow Israel's committing genocide, which all the numbers disprove. But it wouldn't even matter. Israel could be genocidal monsters, and by the standard he's articulated, he would have to be screaming about Iran. But he isn't, because Qatar is an ally of Tehran.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. But you know, his pretty much open disdain for Israel is just so sickening. Well, we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, talking to my friend Rod Martin. We're talking about the issues of the day, especially Donald Trump's State of the Union address and Mike Huckabee talking, sitting down with Tucker Carlson, being grilled for 2.5 hours or so, long time. And so very, very interesting things and how it plays out with Iran and Israel and the USA. We'll be right back.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to my friend Rod Martin. We're talking about the State of the Union address and Mike Huckabee, ambassador to Israel, his sit-down with Tucker Carlson, and you know, how that plays out. Obviously, Rod, the situation in Iran, especially if you're Mike Huckabee and you live in Israel, you're on high alert with that. And we were talking at the break, but you pull out your crystal ball. What do you see happening in between Iran, Israel, and America?
The president is a man of his word. He said, help is on the way. And we now have two carrier strike groups in region. People don't understand the import of that. A single American carrier strike group has more firepower than the Air Force of nearly every country in the world. It's just extraordinary, the amount of power that we're amassing in region, and you don't do that for funnies. You know, we took the Gerald R. Ford off station in the Caribbean for this. Well, it's not as necessary as it was before we took Maduro, but it was on a pretty important mission, and nothing wrong with it being there, but we steamed it at flank speed across the Atlantic, through the Mediterranean. That's not accidental, and it's not just for show. So look, the president said, help is on the way. There are hundreds of thousands of Iranians in the streets. They keep coming, even though 32,000 of them have now been murdered by their government and by its proxies. Those same Hamas terrorists that Tucker Carlson is in love with when they blow up Israelis, those same Hezbollah terrorists that Tucker Carlson is in love with when they plunge Lebanon into a 40-year civil war, those are the people the Iranian regime is importing into Iran, foreign Arabs to kill peaceful Persian protesters. It's just horrifying. These people are standing up for their freedom no different than the peaceful revolution in the Philippines in 1986 that threw off Marcos and transitioned that country to democracy. These people deserve their freedom. And the truth is, if Iran were free, if Iran were truly a free country, it would be a stabilizing force for the entire Middle East, because nearly every conflict you can point to in the Middle East, there are a couple of exceptions, but nearly all of them are funded and fed by the Iranian regime specifically. If it goes away, they go away, because nobody's there to pay them. Okay, and so what that means, we get an ally that's friendly with Iran, with Israel, instead of shooting ballistic missiles at it all the time, and we actually get to peace. And that's extraordinary on another level, because Iran is an incredibly wealthy country if it weren't under socialism. So you have a chance there for it to become a first world country in very short order, where women are free instead of being executed for the crime of getting raped. Let me repeat that. The Iranian regime executes women if they get raped. This is one of the most evil groups of people in the history of the world. And yeah, Donald Trump needs to do his part to finish them.
Okay, so Rod, China and Russia, will they prop up Iran?
Well, they'll prop them up just about as well as they did in the 12-day war. All these promises of help. But at the end of the day, the Chinese wouldn't even sell them advanced fighter jets, because they're just like, these are going to be sitting ducks. You're just going to get shot down. The Israelis are going to end up with schematics on our most advanced tech. This is stupid. We're not really going to help you. And the Russians want them to pay cash. Well, they can work out a barter deal, because Iran's producing them a bunch of drones for the Ukraine war. That's another thing. This is a key source of oil to China. China buys 90% of Iran's oil exports. That is the last strand propping up the regime, which is why it's such a big deal for Trump to be going after the shadow fleet oil tankers that make that trade possible. Without that, both Russia and Iran cease to have money to operate, as we have seen in Venezuela and Cuba. So all of these things are interlinked. But what can Russia and China really do? Honestly, not much. So, you know, the question is, what can the president do? I think he can do an awesome amount, but does that produce regime change? We won't know until we try, and it's not going to involve an American invasion. None of your listeners should worry about that. This president's never doing that. We're not sending 250,000 troops to occupy another country for 20 years. Not happening. But if we can destroy enough key regime infrastructure that the people in the streets can take back their country, that is a boon for the entire world, and it will be possibly the biggest step toward peace since the fall of the Soviet Union.
Okay, so Tucker was asking Huckabee, in Tucker's opinion, Tucker Carlson, Benjamin Netanyahu wants there to be a war with Iran, and Mike said he does not want that. What's your take on that?
Well, nobody wants a war with Iran because, you know, there's a decent chance that whoever does ends up dead. The number one target for the Iranian regime is the individual person, Benjamin Netanyahu. And they've tried to assassinate American presidents before. And this president, you know, we just had one of his attempted assassins convicted and sentenced to life in prison here in Florida. You know, I've lost count of how many attempts there have been on Trump's life. So none of these people are taking this lightly. Nobody thinks they're insulated from the problem. However, there are hundreds of thousands of people in the streets in Iran just seeking their freedom. Just seeking their freedom. And they're good people, and they're highly educated people, and they're highly literate people who just want to be free. There's another angle to this that your listeners really especially need to know. And I'm quoting Iranian government statistics. So this isn't biased from some right-wing think tank somewhere. The Iranian government tells us that as of 2023, out of 75,000 mosques in Iran, 50,000 were now closed. 50,000 out of 75,000 mosques closed.
Why?
The Iranian Ministry of Education says that more than half of Iranians are now non-religious.
Oh, wow.
These are not a bunch of Shiite radicals. And both Christianity and Zoroastrianism, which a lot of people haven't heard of, but that's the ancient religion of Persia, both of those are growing by leaps and bounds. So what you're seeing, and it's very, very clear in the streets, we've got a lot of good intel on this. We know what's happening. In the streets, it's very clear. Most of the people of Iran have identified Islam itself with the Islamic regime, because the Islamic regime just spent the last 47 years telling them that they are the definition of Islam, mm-hmm. and they're rejecting it. And there's an enormous opportunity here, not just for a secular liberal democracy, which we clearly want. That would be a boon to the world. You know, not none of this 12-er eschatology where they think they have to burn down the world in nuclear fire to bring back their Messiah. You know, getting rid of that would be good. But it's more than that. There's an opportunity to have a free flow of ideas, opportunities to share the gospel. Lots of people in Iran who are already sharing the gospel at risk of their life and their families. This would be one of the greatest things to ever happen to the world. This is not Iraq. This is not Afghanistan. And Donald Trump won't treat it like them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know that there's a lot of infighting in Islam because you have all the different branches. So if Iran did get in a war with Israel and then the United States was involved, would any of those other Muslim countries, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, any of those other players get involved?
They don't want to participate directly, but they would all be thrilled. Iran is the primary military and subversive threat to every country you just named and a dozen others. It is the focus of the problems in the Middle East. It's seeking to undermine Saudi Arabia because it wants to capture the holy sites at Mecca and Medina. It also wants to capture the oil fields in the eastern province. It would love to extend greater control over Iraq, as it did, by the way, in biblical times. You know, the area that is now Iraq was part of the Persian Empire then.
Right.
It is an imperialist aggressor that threatens all these guys, which is one of the main reasons that they're all at least nominally allied with us. They don't necessarily love a bunch of Christian Americans. That's not their thing. They really don't like a lot of the secular Americans who are putting porn on the internet and all kinds of things that they oppose. But Iran is an actual existential threat to them all. And the only country that question doesn't quite fit is Qatar, which is interesting because, again, why did Tucker Carlson buy a house in Qatar? That's mm-hmm. insane. So the only country you can name in region that is truly a friend of Iran is the one that's also spending more, like three times as much on influence operations in the West as the most extreme numbers you can come up with for Israel. And so everybody else wants them gone. And honestly, Qatar would probably benefit from them being gone. It just won't see it that way. So no, they're not going to help. China and Russia can't project power in a way that would actually help. The loss of Iran meaningfully impacts China's economy because they are living on a sea of steeply discounted sanctioned oil from Russia and Iran and previously Venezuela. That takes away one of their biggest unfair trading advantages at a key moment in our trade negotiations with them. Literally, the whole world starts to heal if the Islamic regime is gone.
Wow. Well, that's very insightful, Rod. Thank you for that. Real quick, let me ask you about Venezuela post-Maduro. Where do we stand with them?
Venezuela is kind of funny. I mean, you listen to Trump talk about it last night, and it's almost like, you know, we've colonized them or something, which is funny because we don't have a single guy on the ground. You know, we've got embassy staff. I'm sure there are some spec ops guys in a jungle somewhere. You know, they got the point. Donald Trump came in with a handful of guys, and what we're now finding out were all kinds of these crazy Star Trek sonic weapons and directed energy weapons. You'll recall from Dr. Evil, that means freaking laser beams. You know, just all this insane stuff that nobody in the world has. And they take this guy from the most fortified complex you can imagine with zero dead. No American dead. Lots of Venezuelan dead, but no American dead. So they got the point. You know, Delcy Rodriguez understands she's next. And Maduro is charged with conspiracy. Well, guess who the conspirators are? It's all of his officials. So they're playing ball. I mean, they're doing pretty much anything Donald Trump tells them. They're releasing political prisoners. He talked about that last night. We're starting to actually get some real traction on an opposition being able to form that could really contest an election. And then we're going to have a chance. Those same corrupted election machines that we're talking about in America were used in Venezuela, and all the international observers agree that they were rigged. So why wouldn't they have been rigged in Georgia? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But you get a free election, properly supervised, the opposition wins, and somebody like Machado ends up president, and it's a whole new world. They can be a first world country too. They can be a first world country in a relatively short time, 10 or 15 years.
Amen to that. Well, Rod, I know you have to go. I appreciate your time. Tell our listeners again how they can connect with you.
Everybody should come to rodmartin.org. That's rodmartin.org, where we publish daily geopolitical analysis. Fox Business calls absolutely phenomenal. We've got tens of thousands of subscribers. We've got hundreds of thousands of social media followers. There's a reason. So join us at rodmartin.org.
Thank you, Rod. I appreciate it, my friend. God bless you. Well, that's lots of food for thought there with our friend Rod Martin, and I always enjoy getting to talk to Rod. I remember this comment from Paige Patterson when he was president of Southeastern Seminary when I went there. He said, I'm not always right, but I'm never in doubt. And so Rod has an opinion on lots of things, and it's a very informed opinion. Rod is nobody's dummy. He's a very, very smart guy, law degree from Baylor University, and just a wealth of knowledge and information. And he loves the Lord, and he loves America, and he is one. He's a son of Issachar, so to speak, who knows, understands the times. And what Israel should do, as it says of the sons of Issachar, but we would say knows what America should do and knows how to inform Christians. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. When you hear the music, that means we are close to the end. And so I always like to close with two words, shine and share. Hey, go out today. Your job on this earth, my job on this earth, is to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to warn people to flee from the wrath that is to come, as John the Baptist said. So go out today, shine for Christ, that's how you live, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. That's your testimony. Share that with somebody today. And know this, God will use you as his witness. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.